live at Bontrow with Quincy Jones, late at Heaven's Gate. The critics say no one saw the red light, but you did, didn't you, Miles? You knew. You didn't really want to play this gig. You hadn't looked over your shoulder in over 40 years and had no intention of doing so here. Gil himself wouldn't have wanted you to pay him homage this way. Your chops were down, you had been playing fewer notes for years. A kind of Dashiell Hammett of the horn, you'd moved to the clean white space between the notes, played mostly with a harmon mute, your solos spare and few, mostly mixed down in the pocket of an African groove. You were deeper into the blues than hard bop had let you go, were cozier than cozy playing behind the fusillade of amps, while Matume and Foster laid down a fat, funky stew for you to play your crybaby through. The bands since 81 were funky, too, though you were back in a simpler, cool groove. Many of the critics had abandoned you, thought Decoy, Arrest, Tutu, and Amandla were boring, retrofitted vehicles for you to toot-toodle your diminished self through. Funky bumper cars with no more oomph than gangsta rap or a Miami Vice score, all pretty pastel, two-day stubble white boy funk. So to do arrangements from The Birth of the Cool to Sketches of Spain seemed wrong, not just a retrospective nod, but a swan song. You didn't have the lungs, even with Wallace Roney handling pyrotechnics and flash solos, you'd put yourself in the shade. But Quincy prevailed, and you mustered the jam, took center stage. Weak, frail, cottonmouth, you'd prove old Elwood was right about vibrato, and quiver your quavering notes through the knots in your belly. But we loved you, Miles, and you were paying us the supreme compliment of a last bow. How could we not applaud? How could we even look for angels in the wings? You broke the speed of the Sound of Loneliness record that day. Couldn't have brought the moon closer if you played moon jooms with Giroux. Gil's dewlaps would have ruddled with tears to see the white of your scared rabbit eyes as you sought Quincy's approval nod after nod. You had more than Wallace in your corner then. You had Sugar Ray, Elwood, Dizzy, Bird. You ascended on a note purer than the last from Gabriel's horn, scorched earth, burned pure as an oxyacetylene flame through sheets of Coltrane steel. Heated more souls and gilded more gray hairs than Mother Teresa, each note an expanding halo of blue smoke. 2 months and too few performances later, you'd play Hannibal at the Hollywood Bowl, and the elephants would come for you over the mountain peaks east of Malibu. No one, not even a charlatan in Harlequin, could shake the shikare or pick up your horn to trumpet the vanguard through Heaven's Gate. Some say we were dead when you returned from 6 years of silence back in 81. You weren't in the vanguard, chose to recap rather than reinvent the music then. Nothing was as audacious or daring as Agartha or Pangaea, Tokyo, 1975. You scorched earth and hung up a smoking blue horn, some say. Others say they see a cool cat cleaner than a broke dick dog wearing a silk kimono with dragon emblazoned across his bare chest. He's holding a shiny new Martin B-flat trumpet with blue lacquer finish and gold-plated trim, designed by Larry Ramirez at G. LeBlanc Corp. in his right hand. His left is adjusting black shades. He's up there on cloud 9, got his horn rigged to a Samson CT6 microphone, wireless AKG transmitter, and CX1 capsule. On hand beside him are an Oberheim OBX, a Yamaha DX7, and a Roland D50 from home. Ladies and gentlemen, angels and hipsters, please welcome God. He only thinks he's Miles.